For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday morning, June 28, 1978. Lake Hamilton Bible Camp Summer Camp Meeting being held in Hot Springs, Arkansas. John Boney is the speaker of the morning, speaking on the church that is his body.
Encourage my little ones, for surely I am strengthening the feeble arms and the feeble knees, and I shall cause them to become strong. For even as in the vision as Ezekiel saw and prophesied, I brought forth the reality of his words with actions. And surely I'm causing an army to rise up across this land and around the world that shall bring healing, deliverance, salvation, and all the works of the living God in the lives and in the hearts of those that are open unto me, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
We bless you for the sense of your presence that is here. What you're doing, O God. We thank you that you've only just begun. That you have begun a good work in us to perform it unto the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. To your name be honor, glory, might, and power. In Jesus' name, amen. And last we shared with you, we were sharing with you about the purpose of God in the earth today. And we want to continue talking about that. When we shared with you, about the devil's counterfeit, the religious system that is now, that looks like the real thing, but really is not. I shared with you even some of the things that are in this counterfeit group. Well, this morning we're going to go on a bit more and share about the church that is his body. You mentioned there is a religion, there are churches all around us. These churches maybe belong to individuals, to denominations, but they may not really be his body. And that the thing God is building in the earth today is the church that is his body. And I want to read from Ephesians chapter 1. I'll read from verse 15. Ephesians chapter 1. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in his saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this earth, but also in that which is to come. And has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all, you know. When we talk about the church, we want to, again, let you understand the church that we're speaking concerning. Now, most of you are aware of the fact that the word that's translated church most times in the New Testament is the Greek word ekklesia. And it's made up of two words, one ek, out, and klesis, a calling. The church, then, those who are called out. In Acts chapter 7, verse 38, we see that even reference was made to the church in the wilderness. And as it were, the children of Israel, having been called out of Egypt, became the church that was traveling through the wilderness and on their way to the promised land. They were the called out ones of God, called out from all that which represented hundreds of years of Egyptian bondage, and they began the process, head into what? The promises of God, the promised land. I believe there is such a group that God has filled in. I mentioned Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. I will build my church. I will build my group of called out ones, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. This is what God is doing. He has called the people out of Egypt, calling them out of Egypt. He is building together this group of called out ones, and they'll be so equipped with his power, with his might, his dominion, that the gates of hell will not be able to withstand the power that is within them. And I want to remind you also that when you read in Ephesians chapter 2, you notice that God takes of two. God took out of the house of Israel, and he took out of those who were not of Israel, brought them together to make one household. And at the end of chapter 2, you notice that household is fitted together for a tabernacle of God through the Spirit. That's what God is doing in the earth today. So we have here a group of called out ones. That is the church, which is his body. So emphasis. Let's look back to Ephesians chapter 1. Let me point out something to you here. In verse 22, you notice God put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. So the Pharaoh spoke of the other night, I believe that in this case, God is bringing forth a feast company, so to speak, a people under whom the enemy would be subdued. You see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it speaks there of the body. Let's read from verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now there are many members in this body, but this body that is called the Christ, you know, most of us speak of the body of Christ, and we refer only to Jesus as the Christ. But I want to tell you this morning that the whole body is that Christ, the anointed one. The entire body. And he who is the head recognizes the other parts of the body. If you look in verse 21, the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. He who is the head will never say to the feet, I have no need of you. Because without the feet, the enemy would not be subdued. I want to let you know this morning that Jesus, after he went back to heaven, his work was complete, and he's sitting now at the right hand of God the Father, waiting until his enemies be subdued. And if you look at me in Hebrews, I'll show you that. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. For this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Now in the Old Testament tabernacle, in the holiest of holies, there was not a seat. So the high priest had to keep continually moving because his work was never ever complete. And really there were bells around the skirts of his garment. And as the people heard the bells, they knew that the high priest was still alive. There was a rope on his foot. In case they didn't hear the bell, they knew that he was dead and they could pull him out. But our high priest, after he accomplished his work and he went to the holiest of holies, he sat down forever at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. And in verse 13, from henceforth, expecting or waiting till his enemies, he made his footstool. From that time he sat down to wait until the feet come forth. And that feet begin to bruise the head of the serpent. This is the seed of the woman that was prophesied in Genesis. It was jewel red, that serpent. And bless God, he's waiting until that comes forth, that begins to happen. I want to tell you this morning that that which God is building in the earth is the Christ, the anointed one, the body of Christ. And bless God, the self-same anointing that was upon the head, when you read it. Let's turn to Psalm. Psalm 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head. Ran down upon the bed, even Aaron's bed, and went down to the skirts of his garment. I tell you, that which God is doing in the earth today, in the church that he's bringing forth, the self-same anointing that's upon the head will run down even to the skirts of his garment and unto the feet of the body. So that that which was accomplished in and through the head could be accomplished in and through the feet also. Throughout the entire body. Or you see, right where there is that precious anointing, there the Lord commandeth his blessing. Even life forevermore. That's what God is doing. And there is that body which is the Christ. And I want to let you know again this morning, the Christ that the scripture speaks concerning is the whole body. I want to also let you know, if you look at me in Galatians chapter 3. It's a blessing just to realize the promises of God and to realize the working of God from the very foundation of the earth. God promised unto Abraham that he'd bring forth a seed from all nations. That seed would be brought forth. In Galatians chapter 3 verse 16. Now to Abram and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. What is the seed that's being brought forth in the earth now? What is Abraham's seed? It is the Christ that's being brought forth in the earth. Verse 29, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. If we are of Christ, we are part of the seed of Abraham that was promised God. See, many people look just to the natural seed, trying to consider it. But the promise of God went beyond that even to the spiritual seed, which is the body of Christ. Or, if you look through this Bible, it's beautiful. So very beautiful that all throughout the pages of the Bible, something is being woven. The eternal purpose and the eternal counsel of God is being woven. And all of God's direction is directed towards these end times. And all the prophets prophesied of this day and of what was being done. That in this day God would bring forth a people as have not been brought forth in the earth before. Not a generation. Too many people talk about, you want the old time religion. Bring back the days of Acts. Brothers, that was the former house. That was the former glory. The glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. And I believe this is the day that Isaiah 43:18-21 spoke of, where God said he would do a new thing in all the earth. He'd form a people who'd be for his praise. In the past, there was a people called Judah. And the word Judah meant praise. But they became a praise as of men. But in the new thing that God is doing in the earth, he's forming a new people. For you see, the tribe of Judah, even though they had been separated from the other tribes, they still went into sin and were carried into Babylonian captivity. And they forsook God. God is doing a brand new thing, bringing forth a new people in the earth. A called out one, his body. A people in whom will be the dwelling place. And I tell you, the earth has never yet seen such a people. And it's beginning to happen now. And the song, I hear a sound coming from the mountain. I hear it clear each day. It says, prepare the way of the Lord. And I believe that's what's happening. There's a trumpet that's being sounded forth. As a trumpet that's being sounded forth, there's a people of God that are marshalling themselves together. The feet company is coming forth, and bless God, that church which is His body. The earth is beginning to see them. They're beginning to rise up from every kindred, every nation, every town, every people. And we see, and God shall be glorified in it. See, I rejoice in this, that in Revelations 11:15, and when the seventh angel sounds, there are voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. And He, with the Lord and His Christ, they shall reign forever. I want to tell you, it is given unto us to take the kingdom. It's given unto us to take the kingdom. I think too many of us sit back and waiting for God to do it. Too many of us rest just waiting for God to do it. God says it is for us to do it. Look at me, please, to Psalm 149. And all of this psalm is a beautiful psalm, but I'm not going to take the time to read through all of it. I want to begin at verse 5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their bed. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. What's the purpose of this? To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute upon them the judgment written. And I like the next statement. This honor have all the saints. It is an honor for the people of God to execute the judgment written upon the principalities and powers that are in the earth. It's a privilege to wage spiritual warfare and to divide kingdoms. You see, remember, it was quite a while ago. There was a particular situation that we were praying about in a fellowship. Said, Lord, what must we do? Because we were recognizing the principalities and powers. And it was early in the morning, the Lord woke us up and said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. The Lord said, you speak division to the purposes of the enemy. Just speak division to his purposes. Speak confusion to it. And bless God, as we begun to speak confusion to the purposes of the enemy, we saw the purpose of God come forth. This honor of all his saints. Beloved, it's an honor that we have to subdue the principalities and powers. You know, Obadiah says, for upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. And the deliverer shall come up upon Mount Zion, and the house of Jacob shall possess a possession. And by little he's going to drive out all. Well, not he's going to do it through us, I believe. He's going to drive out all of the ice so that we may be exalted to possess our possession. I want to say to you this morning, now is the time to take the kingdom. Now is the time to take the kingdom. For all of heaven is sitting waiting for us to take the kingdom. And that body which is the Christ, that anointed one, would come forth in the power of its head, even the Lord Jesus Christ, and begin to take the kingdom. You see, God has, and He is calling out a people. But there are many people whom he has called out, and He is calling out, who think that this is all. Folks, being called, being called out doesn't give you the inside track. Because how many of you know that there are a few million people called out from Egypt who never entered into the promised land? There were many. That's why, you see, Matthew chapter 22, verse 14 says, many are called, but few are chosen. Few are among the selected ones.
Those who are called out.
And you see, God is calling out. But from among those he's calling out, there are going to be some selected ones, the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. And emphasizing this, because I want you to see this morning that it has to go just beyond being a called out one. Paul is a man of great revelation in God. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, he says, but I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The word a castaway, it's the Greek word adokimos, and it means, well, one who has become a reprobate. Or someone who has, well, who has not stood the test. And so because they have not stood the test, they're now rejected. I want to tell you, after you have been called out, there is a test that you have to go through. After you've been called out, there is a process that God takes you through. And whether you're approved of God is determined by how you respond in the midst of that test. It's interesting to note Romans chapter 1 and verse 28. Romans 1, 28. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, I want you to know that these people here, they had somewhat of a knowledge of God. When you look back at verse 21, they had some knowledge of God. But now verse 28 says that they did not want to come into the epignosis, the full knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had the gnosis in verse 21. But they didn't want to come into that full knowledge of verse 20. And because of that, God declared of them, they were reprobate. In other words, they had not passed the test. They were not approved of God. And as a result of that, they were put into a state where they began to do all those things which were not convenient. I speak this to you because there are many people who are too satisfied with that knowledge which they have. The body that Christ is bringing forth today has got to pattern itself after the head and seek under God to be everything that the head was, coming into his fullness. That's what God desires. Apart from that, we do not pass the test. If you feel that you've arrived spiritually, or if you're not progressing spiritually, then you're not passing the test. Because you see, between the promises of God and the provisions of God is always a testing period. Again, I say, we read all the promises in the Word of God and we think, hallelujah, all of God is doing, relax, and well, yes, you know. It seems as though some people from the time they're saved, they get on a toboggan slide all the way down to heaven. That's just about the way it goes. And there is not a moving higher, as Brother Chaplin has been talking about, into the higher realms of God. But what I think is even more sad, folks, for those who have known a higher realm in God and are walking behind that man, falling back. I believe that church, which is his body, is going to have a desire, hunger, thirst after God, that's going to drive them to him continually. The heart panted after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. There'll be the testimony of such a heart. And you see, 2 Corinthians 3:18 talks about it. As we look into the Word and we see the great glory of our elder brother Jesus Christ, we're going to allow that same Word to work within us, to transform us from one glory and to another. There's a greater weight of glory for it. You see, just as the glory of God in the Lord Jesus Christ was wrapped in a towel of humanity, in a towel of flesh, the same things happen now. All of the flesh is hindering and keeping back the glory of God from shining. And you see, bless God, Jesus went beyond the veil, which was his flesh. He went through that veil and he went into the holiest of holies. That's what he did. You see, we can become a castaway. In James chapter 5, in verse 7, James 5, we read many times that the Lord Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. I believe God, who is the husbandman, is waiting for the precious fruit to come forth on the earth. He's waiting just for the precious fruit of that vine to come forth. Waiting for you, and he's waiting for me. With anxious longing in his. You see, there are people who are called, but there are people who also pass the test. There are people who also go on beyond. You see, part of the sin of the children of Israel was that they put limits upon God. They limited the Holy One of Israel. Part of the curse of the church today that we are still putting limits upon God. But you see, 1 Corinthians 15 talks about first the natural, then the spiritual. In every natural realm now, they're going beyond. They've broken the sound barrier. They've gone to the moon, and they're going beyond the moon. And I read sometime back in February, I think it was, I read in a Time magazine about the advances in the computer science field. And I said, my God, what a thing is happening. That everyone, in every natural field, people are breaking through. People are breaking through. In the Songs of Solomon, let's turn there for a moment. Song of Solomon, let me read chapter 2 from verse 8. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the hill, the mountains, skipping over the hills. My beloved is like to roar a young heart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. Too many people are still seeing him just that way. Behind the wall, behind the lattice. But notice the next thing he says. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. You know what I believe in that? He's calling us to come, even behind the veil, behind the lattice. He's calling us, rise up, my love, my fair one, come away. The winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of the bird has come, the voice of the turtle is heard in the land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs. The vines and the tender grapes give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. I believe that's the call of our beloved, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Come behind the veil. When you look in Revelation chapter 17, you notice the call, the chosen, the faithful. It's in the same hour when in chapter 13, all of the 10 kingdoms begin to give their power unto the beast. And in verse 14, it says, and these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. But notice, with the Lamb there are a people. With the Lamb there are people. They that are with him, they're the called. They're the chosen. And they're the third. They're the faithful. They're the called, the chosen, and the faithful. These are the people of the Lamb. And you see, he's called us out to be this. What has he called us out of for? Sure, he has called us out of Babylon. He has called us out gospel among the unbelieving believers. But beyond that, if you look in 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You see what is happening? He has called us out of darkness into light. What is light? This light is the revelation of himself. Because you see, the scripture says in him was life. And the life was the light of man. I believe in the body of Christ that's being brought forth now, there is a level of revelation light that's going to come to that body that others are not going to partake of. I believe that's happening. I believe I see this when you read in Hebrews chapter 13, in verse 10, it says, we have an altar whereof we have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. The people who do service to the tabernacle and to the people, there is an altar that is spread that they have not a right to partake of. But I believe this table is spread for those who, according to verse 13, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. And so we go forth outside the camp bearing his reproach. And I believe outside the camp we realize, according to Psalm 23, he has spread a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Furthermore, when we read in Revelation chapter 2 and in verse 17, it begins to speak there of the overcomers. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. He has hidden it from the wise and from the prudent, but he reveals it unto a people who are truly the called out. You see, some of the things that you learn and some of the things that you hear, and you go share it with someone, and they want to turn on you and rend you for it. Well, the scripture promised you that. If you take that's what's given to you and cast it before swine, they're going to trample your pearls, and then they're going to turn and rend you. But you know one of the reasons why they can't receive it? Because really, they have not come into the self-same light. It's a hidden manna. It's hidden. And I tell you, every time the Lord begins to take this book and open it up to you, you better bless his name for it. Because there are many things that we are beginning to see that the prophets of old couldn't see. They wanted to see it. They just spoke mysteries. That's the thing about it. They spoke things, and bless God, now it's being revealed to us. And they didn't even understand what they were saying. You know, it's just as now sometimes you hear some young Christians get up and begin to speak for things. And you know, they're saying things they really don't even understand. But the precious truth of God is beginning to flow out of their lips. And you know, when you read in the Song of Solomon, you know, you begin to notice something. He must promise the children of Israel that when they enter into Canaan, there'd be the milk and the honey. Do you know where the milk and the honey comes from? It comes right out of the mouth of the believer. That's what the book of Songs of Solomon said. Let's turn there for a minute. I want to give you the address. Song of Solomon chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse? How much better is thy love than wine? The smell of thine ointment and all spices. Thy lips, O my house, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue. You want to know where the honey and the milk comes from? Right from under the tongue of the beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ, of his body. Right where it comes from. That manna. That manna comes right out. I want to tell you, the light, the marvelous light that we've been called into, It's a revelation. That's why where we began reading this morning in Ephesians chapter 1, the prayer of Paul was that God would give unto them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That they'd come into the full-blown knowledge of what the Lord Jesus Christ is all about. And you know, we read in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, it says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. Now, I somehow believe, brethren, that there is a fellowship of believers. There's a koinonia in the Spirit that comes when we begin to walk in the light. And I believe God's bringing his body to the place where it's possible to walk in the light, just as Jesus Christ is in the light now. That's what God's beginning to do. Folks, take your limits off God. Quit saying we can't. Quit saying it's impossible. With men it is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Furthermore, I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. And there is a light that's flowing from the throne of God. If we walk in the light, just as he's in the light, there's a fellowship that begins to happen. I tell you, when you read also in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, and from verse 11 you begin to read of the five of the ministries that he's brought there. Verse 12, he's brought those ministries for the mending of the saints, for the work of the ministry. And when you get to verse 13, you notice there in that verse 13, what is the purpose of that? Until we all come into the unity of the faith and into the knowledge of the Son of Man, unto the perfect man. Amen. The measure of the stature of the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's bringing about, his fullness. In a meeting where the Spirit of the Lord was flowing, someone just came forth and began to sing a song. Said, thy image, Lord, implant it in me. Thy love, thy kindness, thy purity. That's what we ask, isn't it? That's what God is seeking to accomplish within us today, in the body that he's bringing forth. And again, when we read in John chapter 17, we notice that Jesus prayed for this body, that they may be united, that the world may know, and that the world may believe what God has done and what God has said. I don't think there's anything as burning upon the heart of the Lord our God as to see that the body of Christ come forth on the earth now. And I believe God is raising up men with a message everywhere of turning people back to his body, turning them away from the institutions of men, and turning them back to his body and what he's doing on the earth now. Now there's so much more we'd like to share with you this morning. But we want you just to meditate upon this, that he's bringing forth the church that is his body. Those who are called, those who are chosen, and thirdly, those who are faithful. Faithful to the calling of God. Faithful to the purpose of God. Psalm 84, and we sing it. It says, how lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs and yearns for your courts, and my heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. One day in thy presence is far better to me than gold, than to live my whole life somewhere else. And I would rather be a doorkeeper in thy house than to take my fate upon myself. You are my son. You're my shield. You're my lover from the start and the highway to your city runs through my heart. That's what God's doing. Bringing forth just this lovely dwelling place. Do any of you here know that? That Psalm 84? I tell you what. Those of you who know it, let's sing it. I'm gonna stop right here. Psalm 84. Another guitar I can use. Those of you who know it, help us with it.
This is not exactly from the King James. I think it's from the American Standard Version or something like that. Those of you who know it, help us, please.
How lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts, my soul and yearns for your heart. And my heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living.
Nothing else God desires more than that which is His dwelling place. When you study Psalm 23, you know the Psalm 23 is a psalm of a journey from where we are to the house of the Lord, where we are to the body of Christ. And in Psalm 27, verses 4 and 5, the psalmist says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." Bless God, the house that He's building is His body. Let's do the Psalm 84 again. Steve, come and help me with it, please.
Yes. Oh, well, bless the Lord.
Good to hear from last year. Yes. And we're going to slow it down some. I believe this is a song that you could sing slowly and just meditate upon it.
How lovely is thy dwelling.
And the high.
city runs through my heart.
Let's do that again.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.